This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Do you have plans or need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for performance art, a unique exhibit, or would like to explore offerings off the beaten path, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Southern Rep, our city's premier theater for new plays, had a challenging setback in January of this year when the curtain came down on its Black Box Theater after nearly two decades at Canal Place. Its lease was not renewed, and the theater, without a place to call home, continued its productions in venues across the city. Today, Southern Rep's artistic director, Aimé Hayes, beams with excitement as a new collaboration will bring stability to the theater.
Well, the new arrangement is that we're going to be the theater in residence at the Contemporary Arts Center for our 2012-13 season. And it came about because we had worked with them with Shirley Valentine in May, and the partnership went really well for that. And it just makes sense. A lot of people on our board and their board felt like, well, why don't we get these two entities together?
Shirley Valentine was a production.
Yes. And I think we had a very positive experience on both sides. So that's what kind of put the spark in our minds, so to speak.
And you have a little history with the CAC, I believe.
Actually, I do. That's where I directed my first play and my second play, and where I first started producing. I produced Jim Fitzmaurice's, some of his early works there, and spent the whole summer in their smaller theater space, which is now a dance studio, but much love for the CAC.
And how does this space compare with the location you had at Canal Place?
Well, what I love about it is that it feels like you're in the city, you're on the street. You know, the CAC is a storefront presence. So I think that immediacy with the public and that interaction with commuters driving by, tourists walking around that fabulous area downtown, it just makes so much sense. It's a different feel.
This arrangement, how exactly is it going to work with the CAC?
They have a history of doing artists or theater companies in residence. John Grimsley and Dog and Pony were there. Certainly Kathy Randall's with Art Spot had a residency there. They've already got a structure for that, and it made the most sense to say that we were sort of bringing this structure back for Southern Rep to be there for a temporary residence.
What can you tell me about the upcoming season?
I have some exciting news to share, actually. We are starting a new series this year, and it's called the Lanyap series. And before we had planned the residency with the CAC, we had a couple of shows that we were doing that were not going to be in Southern Rep's space, even if we had been at Canal Place. One of those is The Lily's Revenge, which is going to be October 18th through the 19th. And it's a five-act, 45-plus actor, five-director, eight-collaborator extravaganza / love story. And that's happening at the Den of Muses, where Crew de Vue stages its parades.
That's a lot of loving.
It's a lot of loving. It's music, dance, festival, film, and a wedding, which, of course, we all love weddings. And then we just found out Southern Rep's Rolling World premiere of a play called Wolves by Steve Yockey has been chosen as an official New Orleans Fringe Festival entrance. So we will be featured as part of the official New Orleans Fringe. So that is very exciting. And the venue will be announced, you know, with the Fringe materials when those come out. So that's a big deal for us.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited. This play is really wonderful. And that's in November. That's November, I believe, 15th through the 19th. And then our final Lanyap piece that we have for this season is going to be A Christmas Carol by Doris Baisley. It's her adaptation. It's really fast and snappy and music, and it's a play within a play, so it really theatricalizes the story. It's great for all ages.
Will that be in the CAC or somewhere else?
That will be our very first production in our 2012-13 season in the CAC. So we're so excited about that. We're going to open Thanksgiving weekend and then play through December.
So the official move comes in November for Southern Rep.
That's right. That's right. We're going to be on the road to the CAC in November.
Now, there was something else, 3x3.
Yes, that's coming up this month, August 27th through the 29th. Southern Rep has been working with a group of playwrights we call the 6x6 Playwrights. And every month for over 2 years, they have written plays that they submit and then we produce. It's 6 10-minute plays that we produce once a month. These writers we're taking to the next level. So we're doing private play labs with them and they're working on one-act pieces. So the idea, Diane, is that we'll do these one acts over this next year with 11 of the 6x6 playwrights. And then the year after that, they'll start working on full-length plays. So my big vision is that these playwrights that started out writing 10-minute plays will eventually, one of them will have a main stage production at Southern Rep and then around the world, you know.
So this is almost like an incubation process for them.
Yeah, and this is really and truly what our mission is about, new plays for New Orleans. And working with these playwrights has been such a joy, and to see them, some were beginners, some were much more advanced, and this is an opportunity for the city to see them crafting larger stories. The most exciting thing that I get to do is to be in a room with a playwright developing a new play. There is truly nothing more satisfying than that, and it's what continues theater. Theater needs its playwrights. It would not go on without the stories.
What is your hope for the future of Southern Rep?
My hope for the future of Southern Rep is that our audiences continue to follow us on whatever wild path the future might bring. I think that we're completely dedicated to telling the best stories with the highest professional quality. And if our audiences will follow us, we will uphold that tradition.
Thanks, Amy. We've been talking with Southern Rep Theater's Artistic Director, Amy Hayes. An announcement on the theater's 2012-2013 season at the Contemporary Arts Center is expected soon. In the meantime, Southern Rep continues its New Plays New Orleans mission with 3x3, the 1X, running August 27th through 29th at 7:30 p.m. at Mid-City Theater, 3540 Toulouse Street. Across town, writer Ian McNulty explores offerings by the Tacrima Center for Art and Culture. Could Namaste be replacing the familiar Hudat?
Twice a week, Charisse Williams walks just a few blocks from her home in the Lower Ninth Ward to attend yoga class at an old, rambling, one-time hardware store that has more recently become the Tacrima Center for Art and Culture.
Yoga for me is like just like my of the week. I'm like, oh, I get to go to yoga. I'm going to be so relaxed and so peaceful.
For her 9-year-old daughter, Fatima, the same center is a favorite spot for dance classes and other after-school enrichment.
She comes home and she's like, Mom, I learned how to do this. And Mom, I learned how to do that. And do you know that we have a garden? And, you know, like a couple weeks ago, she brought home radishes and lettuce and we made a salad. There's things that happen here that we actually bring into our home afterwards, which gives us, you know, a chance to interact and, you know, talk about what we did.
Yoga and a community garden are just a few examples of how the Tacrima Center for Art and Culture reaches beyond the conventional notion of an art center. Tacrima is a word from Ghana denoting growth and improvement. And although African-influenced arts remain the focus of the center, Tacrima founder Greer Mendy says its programs have also expanded to encourage the growth and improvement of its neighbors in many ways, especially in the years since Hurricane Katrina.
We can't be everything to everyone, but what does it take to make a community whole? If the emphasis is just on your day-to-day living, then that can become very hard on your human spirit. So there's got to be a place where you're afforded some mental and emotional outlets. And that's what we hope to do here. That's what we hope to provide here.
Mendy also leads the Tacrima Dance Theater, a troupe that performs at events around the city. And dance is a big part of the programming at Tacrima. The center also brings to its neighborhood guest instructors for a variety of disciplines and performances by visiting artists. The underlying theme is to cultivate a sense of wellness and vibrancy for a community and to broaden the horizons of people who walk through the center's doors.
One goal for me is that when people leave here, they have the knowledge and the information to be able to sit in any class or to go anywhere and follow and understand, because that's what was given to me.
In addition to its own programming, Tacrima is proving to be an incubator for other grassroots efforts. For instance, Charisse Williams is now starting her own mentoring program for teenage girls in the neighborhood. And after seeing the impact Takrima has made on her own family, she feels the center is the perfect place from which to run it.
We just really want them to understand the things that are important in life. And the young ladies that I have recruited to help these girls are amazing. They are amazing women, and I think that they could show young girls a lot. So I'm really excited.
Learn more about Takrima Center for Art and Culture at WWNO.org. For WWNO, I'm Ian McNulty.
The Community Impact Series with writer Ian McNulty is made possible with support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO and WWNO.org. I'm Diane Mack. English designer Camilla Franklin knows how to spin a yarn quite literally. She speaks with WWNO's Sharon Litwin, host of Notes from New Orleans, about her involvement in Louisiana's longstanding textile industry.
It's very fashionable these days to talk about the creative economy, those entrepreneurial cultural entities that actually make money or are complementary to those that already do. Think jewel case design for CDs, new web page creations, movie set design, and costume manufacturing. It's all stuff New Orleanians can do and are doing. Now there's a new one using the latest in cutting-edge digital technology. It's the brainchild of a local textile designer who can produce any kind of design on any kind of fabric anyone might want.
Basically, think about a desktop printer that's turned into a mammoth printer and at high speed and very reliable. I can print rolls of fabric up to 60 inches wide, but there are many types of digital printers out there. And also in production, my printer's relatively slow, but there are printers out there that can print 70 yards a minute. So they're very viable when it comes to production. And those tend to be in the European textile market in Italy and Turkey. And then there's a new one that's just been set up in Brazil.
That's Camilla Franklin. After graduating art school in England, she spent 5 years working for Burlington Industries in New York before coming to New Orleans in 1996 to join Blumenthal Printworks, staying there until its recent closure.
New Orleans historically was rivaled New York as far as all the businesses that were in New York were in New Orleans, including textiles, fashion, and bringing in the fabrics from Europe. There were several companies until very recently that functioned very well. But unfortunately, with the advent of China and no quotas, all the manufacturing's gone offshore very quickly. So it's nice to have that opportunity for the town coming back.
Now Camilla has customers all over the United States looking to her to produce specific fabric designs on their choice of silk or cotton or linen using environmentally friendly inks that can be washed or dry cleaned.
One of the benefits of having digital printing on the state side is the customization and that you don't have to have a minimum of 3,000 yards. You don't have to have thousands of yards on containers on the water. You can print a minimum of 1 or 2 yards with a custom design and a custom color match without any problem. One of the technologies I'm using is a spectrophotometer. So if you give me any kind of paint reference, I can measure it in using this little spectro and completely reproduce the color on the fabric.
Camilla could have started her business anywhere, but like so many in our creative economy, New Orleans is where she wanted to stay.
Well, originally I was born in Oxford, England, on a farm out in the Cotswolds, very idyllic. Never thought about being in the textile industry, but always was surrounded by textiles. I always sewed, knitted, everything I could think of to do with fabrics, never thinking it was a real job. And ended up in art school, and my tutor said, "Your colour sense is amazing. You've got to go out and find somewhere to do textile design." So that took me up to the north of England and Scotland. And then eventually I got hired by Burlington Industries in New York, and that's what brought me to America initially. Being a country girl, couldn't handle the New York hot and heavy all the time. Love to visit, but would be a crazy old lady if I'd stayed there. And then one of the reasons that I wanted to do this digital printing was that enabled me to stay in New Orleans, because I just fell in love with the place and took my oath of allegiance in American and don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon.
To read more about Camilla Franklin and her new textile business, go to WWNO.org or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Well, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hand. Yes, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hand.
Sharon Litwin, host of Notes from New Orleans, is also the co-founder of NOLAVIE.com. Do you remember your very first musical purchase? What a great feeling of independence. Or was it? That's the premise of artist Dario Robledo's exhibit, The Pre-Lives of the Blues, now in final days at the New Orleans Museum of Art.
It's a different understanding of having music in your life.
Conceptual artist Dario Robledo sees music in a physical way.
I've never just understood a rock or pop song as an audible experience. Whenever I got home with my new record, it was immediately a visual experience. It was a text-based experience. I'm a huge liner notes fan, lyric sheets. Even the way the record felt and smelled, all of this informed my understanding of the song as music. So over the years, I've tried to find how to bring that understanding of music into the sculptural realm.
In his solo exhibition, The Pre-Lives of the Blues, Robledo, a native of San Antonio, Texas, tackles what he calls his sculptural problem by exploring the idea of how we become who we are through our family's musical decisions.
I like to talk about it this way. If you could break down everybody's life from the moment of conception to the day you buy your first album with your own money, my argument is that if your mother listened to Patsy Cline for 9 months while you're in the womb, perhaps we have less say in who we think we become than we like to admit to ourselves. So, and I think that can sometimes show up on that day when you buy your first record with your own money. It's like the first time of independence, just kind of displaying your own independence. But perhaps things were more set than you realized. And then how that then gets passed down generation to generation. So the show is trying to think of a family tree or a family line and how we're all linked through previous musical decisions. Grandmother, mother, son, on and on.
Robledo manipulates select vinyl records, album covers, liner notes, even audio tape, into sculptures, works on paper, and photographs, as he explores the physicality of music in our lives, allowing us to see the emotional significance of jazz, rock and roll, and the blues through a generational timeline. Highlights include a pair of male and female pelvises made from his parents' powderized and melted vinyl records. It's called The Sin Was in Our Hips.
That is dealing with my endless fascination with my parents' generation of understanding rock and roll and how radical it was to see Elvis's hips moving or Chuck Berry or Little Richard, just the physicality of the music and how that affected a whole generation's understanding of who they were, especially that their dance moves could actually be sinful. I find just fascinating.
Another work, Melancholy Matters Because of You, explores hand bones made from three generations of melted vinyl records.
And this is a piece that is dealing with human hand bones at a fetal, adolescent, and adult stage. In the womb, you know, as a little hand is starting to form all the way on its way to adulthood, there's no way to get away from the fact that in our bones are perhaps decisions our grandmother made about a music taste that she had years ago.
And a New Orleans-inspired work, Will the Sun Remember It All, isolates stage lights from live album covers.
That was sort of my imagining a musical portrait of the city through three lineages of music that have tight relationships to the city, but just through the stage lights that once illuminated those singers. Because all those lights that once illuminated those singers on stage are themselves emanating out into the night sky and on their way somewhere. And so I'm playing off that idea of the way light travels and how long it takes to get somewhere. So, of course, you know, a light that illuminated Etta James decades ago is somewhere still on its way to another star. It's a romantic notion of thinking that somewhere everybody's still alive, if you imagine those lights representing them.
Robleto is hoping you'll find music to be more than an audible experience. Dario Robleto's The Pre-Lives of the Blues is on view at the New Orleans Museum of Art through September 16th. We have a little something extra for you in our Lanyap Corner. The 16th annual No Dead Artist National Juried Exhibition of Contemporary Art will be on view from August 28th to September 28th with an opening reception Saturday, September 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Jonathan Ferrara Gallery, 400 A Julia Street. The exhibition, which began in 1995, has been a springboard for emerging artists. If you're in the mood for opera, a series by the New Orleans Opera Association may fill the bill. It's opera on tap in the Puccini Bar of the Four Points Sheraton French Quarter, formerly the Inn on Bourbon, 541 Bourbon Street, Wednesday, August 23rd from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Special parking rates apply for this event. Save the date, Wednesday, September 5th. WWNO will host the 4th Annual Culture Collision, a celebration to kick off the 2012-2013 cultural season. Art lovers will get a sneak peek at upcoming events as more than 50 of the city's cultural organizations will come together for a one-of-a-kind happy hour to encourage participation in the Crescent City's art scene. The event will be held at Generations Hall, Wednesday, September 5th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. There will be an after-party in the big room featuring Ratty Skirvix from 8 to 10 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our show is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.